I'm Marco Werman, and it's The World. There are no words to explain this story we've been following on The World. Just a tweet. Escaped ISIS, then shot dead in Texas. An Iraqi man who waited 460 days to come to America to be with his wife. Last week in Dallas, less than a month after getting here, this man saw snow falling, apparently for the first time in his life. He went outside to take pictures, and he was hit by gunfire and died a few hours later. Police have offered a reward for tips on suspects. Alia Salem is executive director for the Dallas-Fort Worth chapter of the Council on American-Islamic Relations.
As of right now, there's just not enough information to say, you know, what was the motivation. The police have been very cautious, and rightfully so, not to make a determination one way or the other, because there's not enough information. What we do know, according to what the family stated, is that there was no information exchanged verbally or in some other physical form between the assailants and the victims themselves prior to or after the shooting. So the only interaction that took place was the shooting itself. The wife of Ahmed El-Jumaili, Zahra, she does wear an Islamic headscarf called a hijab. She does wear that, however, that day she was not her hijab. She had a hat on top of it. So it may not be immediately identifiable.
What's been the response in the community there?
There's a lot of trepidation. A lot of people are on edge, especially in the absence of a motive. But regardless, whether it's identified as a hate crime or otherwise, you know, there is this sense of fear and sorrow, might I say. There's a lot of sorrow in the community, and it's a really heartbreaking story.
You're talking the Muslim community now, not the greater Dallas community, or are you?
No, I'm about the greater Dallas community.
You are.
And indeed, the United States and the world, there has been such an outpouring of love and affection and support for this family, because as the story comes out about this couple and what the family's been through in order to leave Iraq and come here, and, you know, only to be, you know, thwarted with violence, has just been such a compelling and sorrowful tragedy that has really gripped the hearts of many people.
How big is the Muslim community in the Dallas-Fort Worth area? And do you know how many Iraqis are there? I think a lot of them have been resettled there, refugees.
They have. I don't have a hard number on how many Iraqi refugees have been resettled here. Definitely in the hundreds.
And what are relations like generally between that community and, you know, the non-Muslim community?
You know, typically, on the majority, we've had good relations. People have had pretty good experiences. As the years have gone by, we've seen an increase in tensions with particular individuals, not everybody, but with individuals who have a particular hatred for Islam or Muslims, or people who have ignorance. So our office receives quite a few reports for hate crimes, reports for, you know, being fired from their job for trying to observe their religious practices. We see a lot of hateful rhetoric and attacks online, especially. But in particularly, Marco, in 2015, we've experienced a slew of incidents that have resulted in not only the hateful rhetoric, but the hate crimes in particular being directed towards Islam and Muslims.
Do you feel comfortable as a Muslim in Texas?
Recently, no. I'll be very honest. I have been. I've lived all my life in Texas. I'm an eighth generation Texan. But to be honest, in the last 2 years, I've never felt quite so uncomfortable as I do right now. I personally, on February 20th, received a very direct death threat to my own life. And it makes you question walking out the door in the morning. I do wear a headscarf and observe, you know, my Muslim obligations. And that, you know, adds to me being a target in addition to the work that I do.
What happened in Texas, in your opinion, that changed just your own level of comfort?
With the rise of social media has come with it the rise of empowered individuals to make hateful statements, which causes people to react. And in addition to that, I've seen the rise of very proudly hateful elected officials. I'm not sure any other way to put that, because they're very defiant. When we saw this year in 2015, elected officials like Molly White tell us that we need to go to her office and pledge allegiance and leave an Israeli flag and an American flag on her desk for us to do so, those types of statements give authority to individuals who say, well, my members of, you know, our elected offices are saying this, so it must be open season.
Alia Salem, Executive Director for the Dallas-Fort Worth Chapter of the Council on American-Islamic Relations. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Mark. I appreciate it.